Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
And no Long tonight. He said he had to take a phone call.
Yeah, an important phone call.
At 9:30 at night. And he's going to listen to this, but he knows we're going to give him shit for this. He had to expect it.
At least a little bit, you know.
Who waits around for a phone call at 9:30 at night? Unless it's one of those special phone calls.
Yeah.
1-800.
Or maybe he's really calling State Farm, or Jake from State Farm.
Well,
you know, like that guy in the commercial.
They're going to ask what he's wearing?
Yeah.
On Friday night? I mean, I'm just wondering because he had to take a phone call. And that's kind of strange. So, I don't know. But Long, you know, we got to bust your balls on that one, man. Because that was just... like if we recorded at 7 p.m., it'd be like, okay, that's, you know, it's the evening, that's cool, you're expecting a phone call. But like, 9:30 at night's a little like, what's going on here? You know, maybe he's got a girlfriend. You know?
There maybe we go.
That's it. Or he's waiting, or he's hoping this person becomes his girlfriend. Who knows? So I expect full rebuttal from him next week whenever he comes on the show, because I know he's going to be on next week, because I know he wants to do that movie that we're doing next week for sure.
Yes, and details of this phone call. I want to know what went down.
Well, I don't know if I want details. Like, if it's 1-800 phone sex, I don't really want the details of that.
What if he accidentally calls 1-800 phone sax, and it's a dude with a saxophone on the other end just playing Careless Whisper?
Or Kenny Loggins or Kenny
Song. Yeah.
Good Lord.
He's like, where's the girl? He's like, there's this clarinet playing.
That would be so strange. And I don't know. So Long's not here tonight, but that's okay. We'll forgive him for that.
We'll make it work.
Yes. I'm not taking any weird phone calls at 9:30 and I myself. So how has your week been, man?
It's been good.
We've actually seen each other a couple of times this week through work. Even though we're remotely social distancing podcasting, we actually did see each other through work, mask on, of course, and doing our part to stop the spread of the virus, as they say.
Yes. Yes, to flatten the S of the virus or something like that.
Yes. Well, and then at work they do like these things on the radio, like, do your part to stop the spread of the virus. All customers, employees, and vendors must have facial coverings. It's like right out of a fucking science fiction movie. And then the way they say the virus makes it sound kind of frightening, you know, instead of just saying stopping the spread of COVID-19, it's all of a sudden the virus. And
I pretend like I'm
Tom Cruise walking through a science fiction movie and be like, yeah, I'm gonna defeat this thing, bitches. But it's kind of a strange new world, as you could say, in the year 2020.
It's different.
And then you saw that shit today about some report out of the Pentagon that they have almost admitted that they've had vehicles that they don't know where they came from. Like not from this world. It's like, what is that shit? They're gonna release some UFO files in the next couple of weeks. It's like, what? Why not? Let's bring on the aliens in 2020. You know, I mean, it's
aliens
at this point. Yeah, you know, we've had giant bees, we've had coronavirus, we've had almost World War III. You know, whatever. Bring on the fucking aliens. You know, if they're not already here among us, you know, it could be. Yeah, you know, we should start this whole conspiracy theory that the aliens are already here. And that's why no one in Congress seems to get the... That's why no one in the Capitol seems to get the coronavirus, because they're all aliens, I guess. I don't know.
they're all immune because they're from Mars.
Yeah, I mean, or they're from Uranus. I mean, I don't know. That was a bad Uranus. That was a bad Uranus joke.
It's never not funny.
I know, right? I mean, like, you've seen the Captain Underpants movie by now, right? And like, oh, the kids, you know, they want to watch it every now. I laugh every time with the Uranus joke at the beginning of the movie. That's just, we're dudes. We're going to laugh at anus jokes. I mean,
yeah, it goes, it's like third right behind dick and fart jokes, you know?
That's right. You know, you're always going to laugh at a butt joke. And our wives, girlfriends, significant others will always look at us and shake their head like, why did we marry them?
Yep. What were we thinking? But,
that's right. But it's okay. But yeah, so it's been a busy week, and I'm glad it's over. Now I've got one more week, then I get a week off from work. So, holla fucking Louia. You know,
and, nice.
Are you drinking a beer? Is that what you're drinking?
No, I am drinking balls.
Oh, putting balls in your mouth. That's even worse. I'll say you're drinking beer. That's why I'm gonna definitely on vacation drink some beer. You know, I need to relax, let loose. And but I'm not putting balls in my mouth. So I'll leave that up to you, buddy.
There you go.
But yeah, so let's get into today's show then, I guess, as we always do. Oh, before we get too far to the show, we did record last week, we covered Superman 3. And for the Patreon this month, we did Superman 4. It's out. I just put it out earlier this afternoon, and it's free to everyone this month. You just go to RebelRadioPodcast.com, click the little Patreon link, and it's right there at the top of Patreon. You can listen to our Superman 4 episode, so you can hear what we do on Patreon. And just if you like it, for $2 a month, you get an exclusive episode every month to support the show. We really appreciate it. So I just want to throw that out there. If you want to listen to our follow-up to Superman 3, listen to us trash Superman 4. It's up right now on our Patreon for everybody to listen to the public this month only. So check that out, people. So let's get into today's show then. Download this, man, where we always tell people what we download, streamed, or watched, or checked out this week. And Matt, what have you had a chance to watch or check anything out this week?
Yeah. So Scream is free on Vudu. And me and the wife were just like, you know what, let's just watch all the Scream movies this week. The only one we had to rent was 4, which she hadn't seen 4.
Did you really have to rent it, though, really?
I own it, and I mean, it's really? But it was one of those where it's somewhere, but I can't find it. I had it at
I just meant after part 2, the series kind of falls off the rail. Like, so did you have to watch part 4? That's what I meant. Yeah.
I think after part 3, like 3 is probably the weakest one for me. I would say 1, 4, 2, 3 for Scream. Because I think 4 is a good follow up. I wish they would have you could probably scrap 2 and 3 for me and just go 1 and then make 4 a legacy sequel if you had to. But I liked them. You know, we may talk. I think 3 is a Patreon, definitely. Scream 3 would be a Patreon, especially since Jay and Silent Bob make a cameo in it, and you have Jenna McCarthy in it, so it's definitely a Patreon movie. Other than that, other than 4 of Wes Craven's gems, we watched Artemis Fowl today. Not bad. It's on Disney Plus.
I haven't heard a lot of good things about it, though. People say it's kind of pretty weak.
I thought there was I think it was overrated. It feels like it's a story that more could have been done with. I think Colin Farrell is underutilized. But there was a good story and a good idea there. I think the execution wasn't as good as it, you know, should have been.
I believe it's based on a series of popular books, if I remember right. Yeah. Mm.
But yeah, other than that, That's about it for me.
Yeah, I haven't watched a whole lot this week, but I have been playing, and you know this because I'm encouraging you to come back to it. Back in 2000, we've talked about this in the podcast before, but in 2003, Star Wars Galaxies was released for the world online in the midst of the height of popularity with Star Wars, with the prequels being in theaters and everything. The big MMOs at the time were EverQuest and World of Warcraft, and here came Star Wars with, you know, up to 1 million subscribers within the first month of the game being out. I was a week one player from the week it came out. I think you joined a few months later, and we played Star Wars Galaxies for many, many years, you and I together. You know, we had a guild on the game. We ran, and we had a lot of adventures. And then they downgraded the servers, and we moved our guild over to another server and everything. And then the game, of course, went offline in 2011. But the game is so popular that in about 2014 or 15, a developer for the game leaked the code out to people, kind of to use as they pleased, which allowed emulators to start making emulators of the game. There's several emulators out there. You have to have your original disc to play. So I've been playing emulators of Star Wars Galaxies. I play on one called SWGLegends.com, and I'm having a blast getting back into playing that game. It's so much fun. It's one of the best MMO RPGs I've ever played. Met a lot of people through playing that game over the years, and you're going to be on it soon. You ordered you some disc off of eBay, and I look forward to you getting on there and playing. And it's just a blast. It's you literally live and play in the Star Wars universe in the game, and it's a lot of fun. MMOs aren't as popular as they used to be due to PlayStation and games like Call of Duty and that type of battle royale online gaming. But there's definitely still a market and people like to play MMOs. And I think if it wasn't for Sony and LucasArts having issues in 2011 as Lucas was getting close to selling Disney, I think that it's possible Star Wars Galaxies would still be online, or they might have made some deal. But I think that might be one of the reasons why I ended up shutting down a little sooner than expected. But you consider it was online for 8 years, and you have a game like World of Warcraft and EverQuest. They're still online 20 years later. It's like, how did something as popular as Star Wars not survive? And I'm sure it had to do with the deals that Lucas was making at the time as he got ready to sell the property, which no one saw coming in, 2012 or 13? Whenever he did that, it kind of caught everyone off guard. So who knows? But I'm glad to be playing the game in some fashion again. And that's really why I've spent a lot of my extra time this week just playing Star Wars Galaxies for the first time in years. And I haven't watched much. The kids have watched a lot of, Toy Stories and things like that. But Dad himself has not sat down and watched anything. I did order something I'm going to watch this week in my Superman kick lately. I realized I had never seen the George Reeves Superman film that was actually put in theaters based on his television show called Superman and versus the Mole Men. And it was like $7 on Amazon for DVD, so I ordered it. And I'm going to watch that this weekend and check that out, the old George Reeves Superman movie. So I'll have a little mini report on that next week. But that's really all I played this week was mostly Star Wars Galaxies and stuff. So. Thank you, Waverly. There's the weekly Waverly cameo, as usual.
There we go.
but yeah, so kind of a slower download this week. Download this week. That's a mouthful there. But I'll try to make up for it and watch some stuff this week. And then I'm on vacation the week after that, so I'll probably get a lot of shit watched. Starting to kind of run out of new movies. There's still a few things I haven't seen, like The Invisible Man, and so I haven't seen 1917. So there's a few things I want to watch. But I also, don't always want to pay $5 or $6. I'm like, eventually, they're going to be on HBO Max or Netflix or something. That's I'll just watch them. I'll watch them when they hit one of those streaming services, And, that's kind of the way I feel sometimes. So, that's okay. So, let's get into today's featured film then. We're going back to 1981. The great Ray Harryhausen did special effects for this film. And it was his last major motion picture that he actually was involved in. Because he started semi-retiring after that. And he did make a lot of convention appearances. Did a lot of things like that until his death, but this was his last major film, and it was directed by Desmond Davis, who was a well-known director for doing, films kind of like this. And it is Clash of the Titans, the 1981 one, not the recent Sam Worthington one that's kind of a mess of a movie. And not that this is a great movie either, but there's something about Clash of the Titans that's got a nostalgic feel to it. It's definitely a movie you kind of have to grow up watching.
It's the epitome of a sword and sorcery film.
Right. It's it had been a while since I watched it. I forgot how slow it is the first hour. It's like, good Lord, is something going to happen? I just forgot that it was that slow.
Yeah.
But essentially, you want to summarize it, man?
Yeah. So there's a few directions
It's kind of a complex movie. Yeah.
So whenever it starts out, the King of Argos is basically sending away Zeus's mistress and his demigod son away into the ocean, and Zeus is pissed, and when he gets pissed,
he releases
the Kraken. Yeah, man, he tells Poseidon to unleash the Kraken on Argos, has him destroy it, and then after that, he finds out Calibus is basically slaughtering his flying horses, Pegasuses, and he turns him into a horrid creature. While Calibus is one of the other goddesses' son, Thetis, and he basically makes him a horrible looking man. And he was going to marry the Queen Andromeda, but after he makes him look horrible, then the marriage is off. But Thetis bewitches or puts a curse on the queen or the princess Andromeda, and makes it to where her soul will wake and visit Calibus in her sleep. Well, you have Zeus's demigod son get all these power ups, and Perseus is given all these power ups, the sword, a shield, and he goes cloak. And yeah, as the cloak, yeah. And he gets he basically follows the princess Andromeda to Calibus's cave and solves the riddle. And while they're being married, the queen declares her daughter more beautiful than Thetis, which makes her mad. And now Andromeda is going to have to be sacrificed to the Kraken. And the only way to stop the Kraken is to go get Medusa's head and use it to freeze the Kraken, turn it to stone, and have it burst into a million pieces into the ocean.
And save Andromeda and the city, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and Burgess Meredith is there to hang out.
Right. Well, that's the first thing you notice about Clash of the Titans. It's quite a good cast, honestly. A lot of good actors. Lawrence Oliveira, Harry Hamlin is odd. To me, everyone that's in this movie, Hamlin is the oddball in this film. He's kind of almost, I guess I always saw him as a Law and Order guy, so I don't see him as like the action guy. He's not who I would thought of in 1980, 81 when they were filming this. And he's very bland in the movie. Like, you never believe that he's heroic or he's going to save the day. Hamlin just kind of goes through the motions in this film and does his part. But I guess all the actors kind of do. It's almost takes itself too seriously, but yet it's kind of a hamish of a movie. It's one of the last great films to use stop motion special effects, of course. As we mentioned, Ray Harryhausen does the effects. And it's easy to say that, you could have done better in 1981. But at the same time, the movie still, I think, looks really cool with the spot motion effects. The monster effects are really cool. A lot of really great use of matte paintings and miniatures in this film and things like that. And the effects for this film, I think, hold up really well, even for being what could have been better in 1981. Because, I mean, Ray Harryhausen is a master, first off. He knows what he's doing. He's very intricate about everything he does. His detail, his attention to detail, he makes his monsters come alive in the best way he possibly can. And I think that's what gives this movie such a charm and a nostalgic feeling is those monsters. Because the human actors that interact with these monsters are not always the most interesting characters. They're kind of, like I said, the acting's a little bland. The story doesn't quite have the epic feel you would expect it to, but at the same time, it's got some really great action sequences when they're fighting, when he fights Calibus, when he fights the giant scorpions. I love the Medusa scene.
Two-headed wolf. Yeah,
the two-headed wolf scene. Which was supposed to be a three-headed wolf.
I almost forgot about the wolf. Oh.
But yeah, it was supposed to be a three-headed wolf, but Harryhausen didn't have time to make it three heads due to production. So he had to make it two, but it still looks really cool and kind of scary. And I think that's what makes Clash of the Titans work, is the special effects that surround the story that is quite quite a convoluted, kind of complicated story at times. Like you said in your summary, there's a lot going on, but at the same time, it's a simple quest story.
Yeah, if you're not paying attention at the beginning, you don't realize that that was Zeus's mistress. He's like, because I think in one version they're like, oh, he sent away his wife and child, unleash the Kraken, but it's really his mistress, and then this movie should have been like a video game. You've got all these monsters. It'd be cool to play a video game where you fought them, as Perseus. Oh, and then you got Burgess Meredith coaching you along from the sideline,
What's funny is, too, part of you say that, because they did try to cash in on the craze that was Star Wars, and they did promote this movie through board games, action figures. They did try to appeal that market. In fact, the Mechanical Owl is a direct result of Star Wars. They pointed to put something sci-fi-ish in it, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's kind of weird. They want to put weird creatures in it. So this movie, as much as it's based on the Greek gods, was also very influenced by the Star Wars phenomenon at the time. And it shows in certain parts, through the things they did. And in fact, some of those action figures and stuff from Clash of the Titans are worth quite a bit of money now, because there wasn't so many produced. And now people like us are grown up are trying to buy those and look for them. So it is a product of the Star Wars craze, too. Despite that, it would have been a great video game. You're right. I think can you imagine fighting Medusa in the video game?
Ridiculous.
The scene in the movie is kind of creepy and scary. If you did that in a game, it could be a little scary too. And that is one of the best effects in the game. The Medusa creature is really, really well done. It's genuinely scary and frightening, and it's a really tension-filled scene in the movie.
Yeah, the lights flickering on her, and it's hitting her face just right, making her look very evil. And then when the eyes light up, man, it's really, really cool. Even for 1981, I think it's awesome. Still holds up. I was still entertained, though, like you said, it relies on suspense and drawn out suspense for its action. I feel like that technique has a place in today still, at least for me. I was still entertained.
it is. And, it's funny because for some reason, we talk a lot about Star Wars in the show and its influence on us, but one of my early movie memories for some reason is I remember my dad taking me to like a double feature at the Dollar Cinema or something, and I don't remember what the other movie was, but I always remember seeing The Golden Voyage of Sinbad was the other feature. That was 1977 or something. It's a rare Harryhausen picture. And I always remember the giant stop-motion tiger that fights Sinbad. And that always stood out in my mind as an early childhood memory of going to the movies. And that's a movie we possibly cover one day on the show. Some of the Sinbad movies are very much in the vein of this movie, just kind of old-school action-adventure film. Usually centered around a quest, and then there's monsters involved. But it's something about those movies that, from that time, that you have respect for them because they have a charm to them, they have a certain feel to them, and it's unfair to compare to them today's films because they're just something so special. I guess it feels almost like, because Rare Harryhausen, the work he puts into this movie, into Clash of Titans or his other films, it feels homemade, which makes it feel personal. So I think that's why you respect them. It has a personal feel to it.
I made Jake couldn't watch the whole thing, but I sat him down and I was like, look, you have to watch this Medusa scene. This was the the part that I saw, that I remember watching with my dad, because it came on TV one time and he was like, oh, look, he's got to kill Medusa. And I remember being freaked out by seeing the Medusa character. He wasn't afraid. I explained to him, I was like, yeah, I said there wasn't, the advances in special effects weren't the same today as they were then. And you relied on things being suspenseful. And I was like,
the music and sound of the film. Very much like when we did.
Through his shield and stuff. Yeah.
It was just like when we did the Never Ending Story. When we were kids, the wolf absolutely frightened the shit out of us. Now you look at it, you're like, it does the same thing with Medusa and this. When I was a kid, Medusa scared the hell out of me. And I sometimes wonder if Medusa might be the reason I fucking hate snakes today. It's because of this movie. It might very well be. Because I remember watching this quite a bit as a kid. It definitely was a childhood favorite of mine. As an adult, I see the flaws in the film. That's a little convoluted. The first hour is pretty slow. So I see that now as an adult, but I still appreciate the movie for what it is. I realize now as an adult how good the cast is. Even though Ursula Andress has one line in it, even though she was one of the top billed actresses in the movie, of course, the former Bond girl from Dr. No. They went and cast her. I feel like there could have been a better actor for Percy. It's not that Harry Hamlin does a bad job. I just feel like coming out of the 70s into the 80s, like, I don't know. There's a lot of people I felt, Steve McQueen, Harrison Ford, Ford had just in Indiana Jones, so he was probably busy doing that. But, you just feel like there could have been someone else to play Perseus. And even in the modern version, I didn't have a problem with Sam Worthington as Perseus. The modern Clash of Titans just isn't that great of a film. It's a CGI fest is what it is, centered around a story that, and I don't hate the movie. I just like, it's just not as good.
Liam Neeson's armor.
Yeah. It's all CGI and glowing. Yeah.
Like they're just like, let's try and CGI the shit out of everything. CGI that pencil.
Pretty much. and I think that's why the original Clash of the Titans is always going to hold a special place just for the work that went into it and the special effects and just the fact that it's a movie that I grew up watching and influenced. And I know Harryhausen is, Matt, but you might not be familiar with all this stuff. He didn't do a whole lot of films, but he did enough to leave quite a legacy. If you ever get a chance to check out any of his Sinbad films he did, or Jason and the Argonauts, go back and watch those, man. Some of them are on Amazon Prime, just to see the work that this guy did. He was an absolute master of special effects, and his model works and things he did are still used today by people that make movies, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I know this was, one of the last couple movies that used stop motion? Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? I want to say so because there were advances being made around this time. The year later you had Empire Strikes Back and obviously did not have to rely on stop motion.
You said a year later or a year earlier. Yeah.
Year earlier, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell that maybe part of it was that this movie actually started filming in 1979. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why they kind of led with stop motion, but it works for me. Mm-hmm. I think this movie has a lot of charm. It's got a lot of character still. It's Calibus is weird looking. He's like, I'm going to take all these spare parts of these creatures that I have and just plug them on this guy. And then, boom, you're like a snake-horned, dude that looks like he got beat with a stick. I don't know.
And they film that with an actor for the up-close face scene, so it's really an actor doing it. But then any time he's walking or battling, it's all stop motion. So it's kind of cool. Yeah. It's kind of weird how they did that. It's a kind of a neat effect. But you're right, this movie kind of came out at a time when these kind of effects were going away. We were moving into new stuff. And it's one of the reasons there was a sequel plan for this called Force of the Trojans that was pitched but never happened because at that point, MGM, the original studio, felt that, like you said, things were advancing into new special effects. They didn't feel there was a market for this kind of film anymore, so we never did get a sequel. Until we got the CGI Wrath of the Titan sequel years later. So unfortunately we never did get a sequel to this. It would have been interesting to see how the story went further. But overall we still have the original and I think that's a good thing. It is playing on Netflix right now if you've never seen the original Clash of the Titans. And if you're really into how special effects are done and the way things used to look, it's worth the watch if you've never seen it before. If I was to rate this, I think I'd give it a solid B. I don't know if I'd go higher than that. as far as special effects work, I think I'd give it an A plus, because I think, it doesn't live up to today's standards of special effects, but if you understand the work that went into this, it's quite phenomenal as far as special effects.
Yeah, and apparently this movie still has like some kind of pop culture inspiration on games, because whenever Jake saw the mechanical owl, he's like, oh, that's the owl from Fortnite, that some character makes this mechanical owl. And I'm like, that's awesome. You know, I know it's like, you know, cheesy game, Fortnite.
Oh,
it's
sure.
No Call of Duty. But I'm like, oh, that's cool that they actually use something from 1981.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Clash of Titans has definitely influenced things. In fact, there's a game on the PlayStation Network, and I'm sure it's probably on the Xbox Network too, called The Deadly Tower of Monsters. It's like an arcade game you can buy, and it's definitely influenced by Ray Harryhausen. I played it because it was free on a PlayStation Plus one month, and you're basically a spaceman going around fighting all kinds of creatures. There's stop motion style special effects in the game. You usually can get it for $5 or $6 on the network. You might want to look into it. It's really cool. It's called The Deadly Tower of Monsters. So it definitely, it's this Ray Harryhausen and his work is definitely influencing things today still. How do you rank the movie, Matt?
I'd probably say B2. Yeah. As far as, you know, just the overall movie, just because of the pacing.
Yeah. I swear when I was a kid, it moved along faster. And I went to watch it this week. I'm like, really? This movie's 2 hours? I don't remember it being that long as a kid. I felt like it was paced better. And as an adult, I'm like, man, this first hour. The second hour is great. It moves quickly. But the first hour is really slow.
Oh, yeah.
Once the head of the statue falls off at the wedding and all that, from that point on, the movie moves really quickly. Just that first hour is just like, okay, let's get somewhere. But, not everything can be perfect. So Clash of the Titans, man, it's on Netflix right now. Check it out if you've never seen it before. And if you have seen it, well, you're pretty cool. So this weekend was supposed to be the San Diego Comic-Con. And as we know, 2020 has canceled pretty much everything. It's strange that I say that as Major League Baseball is finally starting their season this weekend with stadiums with no fans, and it's kind of odd considering everything else in the world has been canceled this year as people try to stay safe, including our own Comic-Palooza here in Houston that we were looking forward to. So we thought we'd have some fun with a no Comic-Con going on this weekend for the weekly top five. And our weekly top five is the top five like fantasy wishes that we wish we could have happen at San Diego Comic-Con if we were to be there. Matt, I'm going to let you go first, man. What do you have on your list?
I'm going to start small and work my way up. But, you know, they always have those movie vehicles there where you can sit in and take pictures of. And they always have the Supernatural one. They always have the Jurassic Park. They always have the Jurassic Park Jeep. But maybe if there was an Ecto-1 that you could sit in and get your picture taken and stuff, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of starting small too. As you know, I'm a Star Wars collector, and like, I always see these exclusives that people get at the conventions. And back in the early days, I do have some San Diego conventions because Hasbro would sell the Star Wars exclusives on their website or whatever. But now it's extremely hard to get them even on the website because internet has changed in 15 years. You have these scalpers; these people are sitting online. So it would be cool. This may sound crazy, but I would like the experience of standing in line for a couple hours to get some special Star Wars exclusive that I can only get in San Diego. I mean, as a Star Wars collector, it might sound boring to some people to stand in line for a few hours. To me, I'd be like, that'd be cool if I walked away with something I could only get that weekend.
That would be cool.
So what's your number four?
Number four, I would say a Top Gun panel with the original cast. Whoever's still alive.
You've seen Kelly McGinnis lately. She's rough looking.
Yeah, she, man, I remember we talked about that when we did Top Gun. And we were seeing pictures of her, and it's like, man, you aged fast.
Well, we haven't done Top Gun yet. We haven't done Top Gun yet on the show. We just mentioned. We were going to do Top Gun, but we haven't done it yet. But we probably talked about it.
We definitely talked
about it. Then we talked about when the trailer first hit. But we'll talk a little bit more about Top Gun a little bit in the news. My number four, you hear these stories about at these big conventions about people running into celebrities on the floor, from Bryan Cranston dressed as his character from Breaking Bad, as Mark Hamill dressed up as a stormtrooper. And I always think it would be cool to have even at Compalooza, as many years I've been involved with it, I've never had that surprise celebrity run in, like in the hotel room or anything like that. And I've always thought that'd be cool to have. You know, I know a friend of mine that got to meet Stan Lee that way by a surprise run in. So I always hope that would happen to me, that if I was to go to like San Diego Comic Con, just have that surprise celebrity run in.
That would be cool.
So what's your number three, man?
Number three, I've got a photo op with the boys. And Starlight's got to be in there, too.
I mean, that could happen at even Compalooza one day. You never know. And I'm not starting rumors. I don't know who's coming to Compalooza, but hell, our convention could maybe get that cast one day.
Oh, yeah. I think that's definitely possible.
Oh, excuse me. I'm burping.
How about you? What's your number three?
My number three would be to be at one of those panels where, like, they reveal a big surprise. Like, a few years ago, when Warner Brothers did their panel and they announced Batman vs. Superman, now I know that the movie didn't turn out the way people expected to, but remember how much your nerd boner got that day. Everyone was walking around with nerd boners because, like, holy shit, a Batman vs. Superman movie is coming. It came out of nowhere. No one saw it coming. No one expected it. And that would be cool to be in that panel and have that shock that the world just found out that something major was coming that no one saw happening. I think that would be pretty cool. So you're number two, man.
I've got a run-in with Keanu Reeves.
Hey, you can drive around L.A.
Maybe. He might be sitting on a park bench eating just a tuna sandwich or something, because, you know, he's pretty normal. You'd probably be
I've heard he's like... I'm Keanu Reeves. I've heard he's super nice. Like, he's very approachable. So, yeah. That's a good one. My number two is somewhat similar, but I've met him before. Just to be in a Kevin Smith panel, man. You know, Kevin Smith is somebody who highly influences me. Just to see him give a panel, you know, and be there at San Diego Comic Con when Kevin Smith is roaring up the crowd, doing it. Maybe it's a live Fat Man Beyond recording, just something. You know, I'd love to be there for a big Kevin Smith panel. And so that's my number two. So what's your number one thing you would want to have happen to you at Comic-Con, dude, at San Diego Comic-Con, if you were there?
Arnold Schwarzenegger meet and greet.
Of course. I knew that. I had a feeling you were going to have Arnold on the... Right.
Yeah, not the $1,500
price. Even if it was a panel and you were in the same room with Arnold, yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, I'd sell for anything.
Yeah, that's a good number one. My number one is another. It's to be in a Star Wars panel, man, where I'm one of the first people in the world to see the trailer for the next Star Wars film, and no one else saw it yet. One of those kind of panels would be awesome. Just to be there with just 3,000 other people getting to cheer on the new trailer for the latest Star Wars film, that would probably be the ultimate geek thing. Other than going to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge one day, that would be the next closest thing. But just to be in a Star Wars panel at San Diego Comic Con, and they're doing Comic Con at home this weekend. They're having a lot of panels online, so there will be some news coming out. McFarlane Toys released some news today. Their Comic Con home about new toys they have, but it just doesn't have the same feel this year. So we'll see how the weekend goes. But no San Diego Comic Con this year. So we thought we'd bring you our top five things we would like to see if we were ever at San Diego Comic Con. So there you have it. So let's do some news, man, before we preview next week's movie. Movie release dates, man, they're changing left and right. We talked earlier, Top Gun is now moved back to July of next year. Spider-Man 3 has been pushed back now till the fall of next year, I believe is what it is. remember reading right, Disney has pushed the next Star Wars film back to 2023. They pushed all the Avatar films back. COVID-19 is playing hell with Hollywood and the business. And yeah, I texted Drew Long and or Frank or somebody, and I'm fine with staying home, not going out to eat and all that, but I am getting to the point where I do miss going to the movies. But I also am not going to really complain about it because I understand why we can't go. But,
yeah,
you know, it makes you wonder how they're going to fit all these movies in, because you're talking a lot of releases that are moved out of 2020 and are going to push everything back.
Yeah, and you're going to have a very congested theater come those summer releases or late spring, yeah. when everything cool hits.
Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a few things that get moved around, like the next movie we're talking about may just go on demand, and that is Bill and Ted 3. The new trailer came out this week. I like the new trailer much better than the first trailer. It's hilarious. I like pumped up, muscly Bill and Ted. That's funny as shit. That had me rolling. It's going to go on demand September 1st. So if you know there's no theaters open in your city, you can watch Bill and Ted at home, which I'm kind of glad for. I don't know if I'll. Man, $20 is a lot to rent it because I almost feel like I could own it for that price. We'll see, but you know we'll be able to watch Bill and Ted 3 at home come September 1st, which is that's the first major live action studio release I feel that is doing this since COVID hit. I know there's been some animated films, but I can't think of another live action film besides this one. So, I mean,
yeah.
Independent film, sure. Some of those have gone straight to at home viewing, but as far as a major studio film, Bill and Ted 3 might be the first one. Bill and Ted Face the Music, that's the official title. I keep calling Bill and Ted 3. So we'll see. It's also, COVID-19 also has played havoc with television shows. So The Walking Dead is, you know, we haven't talked about The Walking Dead in a long time because I kind of fell behind on the show. I know you did too. But its season finale never did air for season 10. It's finally going to air on October 4th. But get this, it's no longer the season finale. They are adding 6 episodes to season 10, which they are currently filming. And season 11 is probably going to be pushed back all the way to the fall of 2021. So they're going to come back with The Walking Dead in October to finish season 10 with 6 more episodes for you Walking Dead fans. About the same time, I didn't realize there's a third spinoff or a second spinoff. They already have Fear the Walking Dead. I guess there's another spinoff that's premiering in October too. So they're going to have the rest of season 10 plus the new season of Fear the Walking Dead and the new spinoff. So The Walking Dead is still going, people. It's not going away yet. I can't remember. I stopped in season. I mean, I don't think I'm more than a season behind. I think I stopped sometime in season 8. So, yeah, maybe I'll get caught up on it one day. I'll wait till it finishes and I'll just binge watch it. You know.
Yeah.
Lastly, The Boys, which you mentioned a photo op of, already announced for a season 3. Amazon already picked it up for season 3 before season 2 airs. So I'll take that as good news. You know, that I like to know that sometimes, that you're going to commit to watching a show and knowing that you're going to get more. So I can watch The Boys season 2 knowing that season 3 is going to happen and I have to worry about it getting canceled. That's the problem. Sometimes you commit to these shows and they cancel. And you're like, well, that sucks. It's going away. So
yeah,
The Boys season 3 will be coming after season 2 comes out in, about six weeks, September 4th, I think, The Boys season 2 hits. So not too much longer to see what happens to Billy Butcher and the crew where we left them last. But that's all the news I got this week. Kind of a slower week this week. And unless you had anything, nothing. You got nothing?
John Travolta is no longer a Scientologist.
Well, that's been the rumor. So I don't know if that's really news. So, I mean, you know, I guess. on that note, let's preview next week's film, man. A movie that been really wanting to do this movie for a long time. It was almost my birthday movie last year, which is strange that we're going to do it this year, the weekend before my birthday movie. So it's not my birthday movie this year. We're still going to do it the week before my birthday. And we did For a Few Dollars More last year for my birthday movie, which is also a favorite. So this year, we're going to cover The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
good. The bad. The ugly. The blue. The gray. The Civil War.
One of the best and most classic westerns of all time. We did not mention on the show that Ennio Morricone passed away a few weeks ago. So we want to do this movie to pay tribute to him. And, of course, talk about Sergio Leone's great western that stars Clint Eastwood and Eli Wallach and the great Lee Van Cleef. As people that listen to the show know that Lee Van Cleef was one of my favorite western actors of all time. So really looking forward to that. Got to set aside some time to watch it. It's a 3-hour film. It's one of those movies I might have to watch in parts this week, even though I've seen it many, many times. I still want to watch it again to refresh my memory. Looking forward to talking the good, the bad, and the ugly next week, man. What about you?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to have to retouch on it because it's been a while. I think I last watched this with my dad maybe when I was like 14, maybe 13. So it's been like maybe 20 years since I've seen this film.
Yeah. And it is on Netflix right now too, and Amazon Prime, I believe. And I own it. I do own this movie on Blu-ray. I mean, but a great film. It's going to be fun to talk about next week, and I'm sure Long will be back to join us. And I know he's a big fan of the movie too, and I know he wants to talk about it. So, so that'll be next week's show. We'll be talking the good, the bad, and the ugly. And thank you, Waverly, for another cameo. But as always, go to therebelradiopodcast.com and follow us on social media. Click that Patreon button. Remember, this month's Patreon is free to all listeners just for a month. So you can see what we do on Patreon. And check that out. And we thank you, as always, for listening. We do appreciate it. And until next time, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
As always, remember, just go there
and just go do there it. And do it.
Sam Jones, Flash Gordon, and this is Rebel Radio Podcast.